Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Mock, and this is now the fifth episode of our series in Gossip. We are looking at the various aspects of this book, Resisting Gossip, and we're in the second part of Gallery of Gossips, the five kinds of gossips. Remember, these five gossips are not gender-specific. People will often say that women are more prone to gossiping, and that might be because they seem to be more relational than men. But of these five, you would not be surprised to see males or females being any one of them. And last time we looked at the gossips of the spy and the grumbler. And today we're looking at the gossips of backstabber, chameleon, and busybody. But I wanted to remind you of the three basic questions that we are asking of gossips. We're digging deeper. We're getting below the level of the behavior. We want to consider not just that someone is gossiping, but also why that person is gossiping, what moves that person, what motivates that person to gossip in the way that they are. And so the questions we want to consider when we consider motives are, what does the gossiper want and believe? Why is this person sharing this information? What is he trying to get out of this bearing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart? Another question is, what is ruling that person's heart? Whom is he worshiping? What is she worshiping? And then what kind of poisonous liquid is in the person's heart bottle? It's just pouring forth this abundance, this overflow of the mouth from which the heart is speaking. So we looked at the spy and then the grumbler, and now we're looking at the backstabber. And this is, I think, the most evil of the five kinds, the most malicious. Just that name, backstabber, stabbing you in the back. There's that traitorous activity and the murderous activity and attitude behind the gossip. So if we looked at Psalm 41, we would see gossips that have this characteristic of being a backstabber. This is a Psalm of David's. And in verses 5, 7, and 8, we read, "My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say, a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies." There's that sinful projection, negative projection of what David's life is going to be like. And they are speaking ill of him, and they are doing so in malice. So they have evil hearts directed against David. So the backstabber's heart is bent on hate, bent on revenge and retaliation and real malice. The kind of thing that Paul says that we need to put away in Ephesians 4. And you can think of perhaps someone who is on a smear campaign. This would be characteristic of a backstabber. You can look at 2 Samuel 15 for an example of this. In the case of Absalom, the son of David, in 2 Samuel 15, Absalom is arriving early at the entrance at the gate, and he's hearing these various cases of men of Israel, and he then is just longing for someone to basically function as a king, function as judge. And, oh, if I were judge, if I were king, I would be able to rule justly and be able to handle all of these problems that are coming. But my hands are tied. I can't do anything about it. because I am not judge, or I'm not king. He's saying this all the while his dad is on the throne. So he's smearing the name of his dad. And in this campaign, he is stealing. The Bible says he stole the hearts of the men of Israel. So much so that David, his life was threatened, and he fled. He fled Jerusalem. The motive behind a backstabber is that of revenge or justice. Of course, that person's perceived justice. For Absalom, he perceived that justice was not being done in the land, and he wanted to rectify that. He was going against the Lord's anointed, something that David didn't do when Saul was king. Even though David had many reasons to overthrow Saul and had many opportunities to do the same. And so the backstabber has this sense of payback for either a perceived or a real injury that has been incurred. And perhaps you know people like that. Again, this takes place in the church and in businesses and companies. It takes place even in families. There are people who stab the backs of those that they are to love. So this is a kind of gossip. Again, probably the most wicked kind of the five. And the next one is the chameleon. This person goes along with the gossip to try to fit into the crowd. And so this chameleon is going to either add to the gossip that somebody had said. Maybe somebody offers a story or some bad information as information against someone. Oh yeah, I can think of a similar time when that happens. This must be a pattern. Okay, so this chameleon might add to the gossip from his own experience, or he might just go along with it in the sense of listening favorably to the gossip. Might not contribute verbally, but just listens. Yeah, I can see how that would be a concern. Yeah, we should pray for him, something like that. And motive behind this would be fear of man. Proverbs 29:25 says that the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. And we should be very self-aware and reflective of why we are doing what we do. And of course, the Lord calls us to fear him and persuade men and not to fear man. So the chameleon basically has man as his god and chooses to be faithful to man over faithful to God. And then the fifth kind of gossip is the busybody. So Proverbs 26:17, it could be an example, and the word busybody is not used, but busybody, underlying that is this idea of meddling. So it says in Proverbs 26:17, whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. Well, dogs were not domesticated in Bible times. I don't know of any text of scripture that speaks favorably about dogs. And in fact, the ones that do mention dogs speak about their feral nature and licking up blood. I think of licking up the blood of Jezebel's body when she was thrown down. So if you have this barking dog or these feral dogs that are on the road, why would you meddle in their in their course of life and try to grab a dog by its ears? You wouldn't do that. That would be foolish. Well, the same principle applies to meddling in an issue that's not yours. Why would you insert yourself into a conversation where your opinion was not solicited? But a busybody does just that. And you could look at 2 Thessalonians 3:11, talks about busybodies who are not willing to work. And 1 Timothy 5:13 speaks of certain younger widows, some women who were not choosing faithfulness to Christ and marriage. And it says in verse 13, besides that, they learned to be idlers, going about from house to house. And not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. They're not engaged in God-glorifying, purposeful business. And so a busybody gossips for titillation or gossips to live through the lives of other people. A motive behind the busybody is pleasure or boredom. The busybody believes that those foolish people out there, those stupid people out there in the world, exist for themselves, exist for their own entertainment. And these busybodies don't see people as the image bearers that they are, but rather as objects for their own pleasure, to dispel any kind of boredom, or just to delight in someone's stupidity. That's the kind of thing that a busybody does and is motivated by. So in these five episodes, we've looked at basically what is gossip and why do we gossip and the kinds of gossip that there are. And moving forward, we're going to, next episode, look at how we would resist gossip. We've kind of described the problem, looked at some of the motives of gossips, and in the next videos, we'll look at how we might resist these sinful motives and the sinful speech that comes out of these sinful motives. See you next time. Goodbye.